So we're going to put the rest of this on the radio because I like to keep them informed of what we're doing. Most people know that we sold the church building on April the 1st of 2021. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year, everybody. And so we sold the church building in April of 2021. And from that time on, our expenses became a lot less than they were. In 2021, our total offerings were $91,684.89. And the total donations for 2021 were $40,137.65.
Woohoo!
So that's pretty amazing. And so, of course, what's going to happen in 2022? Remember, we didn't sell the church building until April. And so the first 3 months of the year, we had our normal operating expenses to include the mortgage. So what goes on now is pretty much, and I haven't run the numbers, but pretty much about 80% of everything that comes in, we donate. And I'll run the math on that and give you a better number as we get into 2022. Anyway, I wanted to put that on the radio because I just think people need to know what's going on, that we're using the resources. Our last major donation was we gave $2,000 to the tornado victims in Kentucky. And I haven't actually, a lady came by that lives here. And if we drive about 3 miles from our house, we're supposedly going to be able to see some of the destruction, but we haven't gone and done that yet. So we might do that before we leave. People around here act like nothing's going on. No big deal. As long as Kentucky wins in football and basketball, they don't care, I guess. So, all right. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to attempt to do something that's, I might float around a little bit because I want to talk about big picture and little picture. I think if you guys have been hanging with me, you know that the ministry that we have is not only dealing with the big picture of Christianity, but it's also the little picture. And what I mean by that is that you have to spend some quality time teaching people about some of the big picture things that you teach. But we always try to keep talking to people about the general overall central theme of Christianity, because we're always getting people that listen that aren't regular church attenders. We've been able through technology to bypass the four walls of church, and we've been able to minister to people outside of the church walls. And so we get people from all kinds of different degrees of their knowledge of Christianity. So we have to always make sure we're talking about the big picture. And then for those people that do have some depth when it comes to the Bible, we have to give them some more information to help them, because it looks like, folks, the COVID-19 thing is not going away, and we're going to have to continue to show and teach people how to be able to overcome that. And so the sermon title today is, Have You Received the Grace Vaccination? Have you received the grace vaccination? So what I want to do is bring up a lesson sheet that we've been teaching from, because we're into 2022, and I think it's I want to start the year out talking a little bit more about this process, because you're not going to be able to overcome unless you can gain an understanding about this lesson we titled, Three Questions You Have to Be Able to Answer Yes To. To operate courageous faith, you have to be able to answer yes to these three questions. I know most of y'all still have that and have it in your Bible, but I want to talk about this from a big picture and from a more in-depth analysis. But remember, the three questions that you have to be able to answer yes to operate courageous faith, because folks, we're going to have courageous faith. This stuff that's going on in our world, people are dealing with it and having a hard time overcoming it. And I personally believe that it's the job of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to show people how to get out from under things that the world's got them under, instead of just accepting things and thinking that we just have to go along with the way the rest of the world goes along with things. I don't believe that. I believe that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, Brian's got it set up where I can see y'all, so that's a real good place for an amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. So I want to talk about these things and talk about courageous faith, and then also talk about the fact that why I believe we get hung up and where the stumbling block comes in as far as being able to operate and see the manifestations of the goodness of God operate in our lives. God is not wanting people to be destroyed by this COVID-19 thing, and he doesn't want people under the bondage of sin and death and sickness. So here are the three questions, and I know some of y'all know we've gone through them, spent a lot of time on them, but I want to start 2022 reviewing this and making sure. Question number one, has what I am asking God for been provided by grace through faith? Now, as we go through these, I want the emphasis to be about the grace of God. Remember, the sermon title is, Have You Received Your Grace Vaccination? You know, there's a lot of talk right now, and I want to say this too, because we're on the radio and on the internet. I think we want to make sure people know where we're coming from. There's a lot of talk right now about vaccinations and booster shots, and if you've listened to me and heard me teach, you know that I'm recommending that if you have the ability to get a vaccination, that you should go ahead and get vaccinated, and if you feel like you need to get the booster shot, you should get the booster shot. Those things are available. I'm not trying to make it political. I do think it's your choice. I think it's a choice everybody has, but I'm not against vaccinations. I'm not against anything that'll make you better. That's why I've always been pro medical science. But there's stories out there and there's situations out there where people have been vaccinated. They did get their booster shot and they still got sick and they still got in trouble. And so sometimes things get beyond the realm of the help of natural science. And so I want to always tell people there's not only is there a natural way to victory, but there's a supernatural way to victory. God is supernatural. And so I know to the naked eye and to the uninformed and to the Christian religious person, it appears that God's not doing things or helping the situation, but it's only because they don't know the real plan of salvation and the real plan of redemption. And the real plan of redemption is about understanding what God did for us through the Lord Jesus Christ and then what God expects us to do. Did you hear what I just said? And then it's about what God expects us to do with what he did for us. I say certain things a lot, but it needs to be said. I truly and sincerely believe that the number one problem we have in the Christian realm is we're still doing too much vertical stuff instead of horizontal stuff. And what I mean by that is we're still looking to God to do something when God's looking for us to do something with what he's already done for us. Again, that's a good place for an amen.
Amen.
I didn't think it was possible, but I'm actually getting pretty fired up just here on this projector. Thank you, Brian. I see you back there. I appreciate that. All right, y'all see that? So question number one is, to operate courageous faith, has what I'm asking God for been provided by grace? Has it been provided by grace through faith? We're gonna emphasize grace this morning. Has what I'm asking God for been provided by grace through faith? And so we ask that question, and I'm looking at you guys, and I know you've been under this ministry for several years, most of you, and I know that most of you guys are going to say, yes, yes, what I've asked God for has been provided by grace through faith. So, but every person, every individual person has to be able to come to that same answer in their own hearts. Y'all see that? And so notice that it's been provided by grace through faith. It's not been provided because we deserve it. It's been provided because God wanted to do it because he loves us and because his mercy endures forever. Very, very important. And these three questions that we're asking, every single one of us that's going to heaven when we die, the reason why we're going to heaven when we die is because we're able to answer yes to these three questions. And I cannot stress this truth enough. I cannot overemphasize this truth enough. Everything about the law of faith and everything about grace works the same in every arena. If it'll work for salvation, it'll work for healing, it'll work for peace of mind, it'll work for overcoming stress and strife in your life. It all works the same. And what we've done in Christianity is we've, and I'm talking about true evangelical, sincere Christian people. What we've done in Christianity is we've agreed with the law of faith relative to salvation, but then we get over into needing healing in our body or peace of mind or financial resources. And then we get over into works and we get over into performance, not understanding that we receive the same things. We receive healing and peace of mind and financial security the same way we got salvation, by grace through faith. Mr. James is nodding amen back there. See, I get to even see him on this thing. Man, this, we may do this every Sunday. No. Can y'all see that? All right. You understand where I'm coming from there? So has what I've been asking God for been provided by grace through faith? I can give you the verses. And then number two, have I released my faith by acting on the known will of God? Again, this question number two is about, have I horizontally reached out and let my problem know the solution? Again, the most famous way to say it, the best way to say it is, am I going to the problem with the solution, or am I going to God about the problem? You got to stand at the mountain and you got to speak to the mountain in the name of Jesus and say, listen, listen, I am not receiving COVID. Is it COVID-19? Why am I saying 19? I am not receiving that into my body. I'm not receiving it. I refuse to receive it. I command it to leave my body now in the name of Jesus. Notice that's a horizontal thing we're doing there. That's we're not looking up to heaven and saying, oh God, why won't you do something about this? Why won't you help me with this? Why won't you take this off of me? We understand that it's already been removed and taken off of us. And I'm going to get to these verses. We already understand that. And so now we go to the mountain, we go to COVID-19 and we say, no, sir, I will not allow this into my body. And I command it to leave and not harm me in any way in the name of Jesus. See, you're taking your grace vaccination and applying it to you personally, because you know that God, in his goodness and mercy toward us, has given us the resources we need to overcome the works of the devil. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And then number three, I want to get to the verses on this, and that's why I'm going to go on. Number three, and this is where it's going to be for those of us that believe one and two, and that's, I think that's everybody that I'm talking to by internet in the church. But for us, we all understand one and two. Now, listen, don't be careful about number two, because sometimes I'll catch myself not actually operating number two. I'll catch myself. I'm reminded of the Lord of this. This is from the Lord, and this is why I like doing this. I don't know if y'all remember, and I'm talking about these things because we're hearing all kinds of stories about people that are suffering with the things that's going on in the world. Remember when the COVID-19 first came out? For me and Treese, we went up to our house up in Gilbert, and I was sitting out in the backyard, and it was April. I know exactly when it was. It was April of 2020. And normally in April of 2020, the Masters Golf Tournament is played. And I was sitting out in the backyard at Gilbert, you know, just sitting out there. And I was looking up in the sky, and this was right when this all started. They'd locked us down. We couldn't go eat at restaurants. You couldn't do anything. And there was some political thing. There was a lot of political things to do with that, too. Have you noticed they're not making us leave restaurants and sporting events and things like that now, because, you know, they understand now that we would rebel against that. And they understand now they're the ones in power, so they don't want to do anything to rock the boat. But back then, they didn't care about rocking the boat because they saw it as a way to get rid of the person that was in office. But anyway, that's another story. But anyway, I was out in the yard, And I never will forget it as long as I live. I looked up and I was upset and I was mad because I wasn't going to get to watch the Masters. That's the best golf tournament of the year. I looked up towards the sky and I said, Lord, why won't you do something about this? And I'm telling you now, the Lord, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't really, I don't know how to describe it, but I got to tell you what I said as soon as I said it. And I don't know if it was my conscience. I don't know if it was the Spirit of God, but as soon as I said it, I'm like, oh man, that was stupid, because I knew in my spirit that the Lord was telling me, son, I have done something about it. I have. In fact, let me, this is a good spot to put this verse in, because I'm kind of going all over the place because we want to go big picture and little picture. But remember, so I said, why don't you do something about it? He said, I have done something about it. And then he spoke in my heart and he said, and you know better than to say something like that. He said, you know better than to say something like that. This is not something that I've done. It's something that came because of man being under the curse of the law and being under the law of sin and death. And I did something about pestilences and I did something about it. And it's up to you to do something about it. So he kind of took me to the woodshed on it. Let's get over to a verse in Galatians chapter 3. Let's get over there. This is as good a time as any to read it. Listen to this. So again, that, what I'm trying to show you is that you have to be careful. Sometimes we think that we've understood number two, that we've acted on the known will of God, but it's real easy because we live in a natural world. And, you know, in the natural, we kind of have this thing about God being like the umbrella in Traveler's Insurance. You know, we're under the umbrella, but that's not really how it works. That's not really biblically true. And so you have to be careful that you don't start thinking that way. And that's what happened to me. I'm like, Lord, why don't you do something about this? And he said, I did do something about it, Buster. So Galatians 3, verse 10. Now look at this. Look at this. We're going to read these verses together and look at these verses together. I can almost see this on the screen. Brian, it's just incredible what you did this morning. That's amazing. Thank you so much. Thumbs up back there, bud. Thank you for that. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm right there with y'all. Look at this. Look at Galatians 3:10, and we're going to read these verses together. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now, look, I was struggling today about how I was going to keep synergizing these things, because that's a big picture truth, too. That's a big picture truth. See, for as many as of the works of the law are under the curse. Now, everybody that hasn't been vaccinated with grace is under the works of the law. Did you know that? It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. This is all in the book of Romans. You got to read the book of Romans to learn, know this, but it's all in the book of Romans that our conscience, the Gentiles' conscience and the Jews' conscience, both know in their heart what's right and wrong. We know it. Now, you can live your life so badly, and so you can be such a reprobate that you have what's called a seared conscience, and you don't pay attention to your conscience anymore. And that's what a lot of people are now. But all of us intuitively have the knowledge of right and wrong. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
I never will forget the first time I went to a grocery store in my neighborhood. We had this little mom and pop store. It was in, they lived in the back of the house and they had their store in the front. I went in there one day and stole a peach when I was a young person. Went in there, they had this peach up there and I stole it. And I remember I got out in the car. I know I was too young to drive. I remember we used to ride down there on our bicycles and I took a peach out of this store. Don't y'all look at me like y'all all sanctified now. And I got out there on my bicycle. When I got out there, I took a bite of the peach and my conscience bothered me so bad for stealing that peach. Cause see, I'm a younger person. My conscience hadn't been seared. And so I took a bite of that peach at Adam's grocery store and I felt so bad about it. I snuck back in there and put the peach back on the shelf and hid the bite mark. You know why I did that? Because I knew in my heart of hearts, that I wasn't supposed to steal nothing. Cause we have intuitively on the inside of us, we know right and wrong. And we didn't necessarily need the Ten Commandments to be put on stone, but we had it in our heart. But when it came in stone and it was known, then we were going to be judged by it. I'm going to get to that. So every person, everybody that's listening, if you're not under the grace of God, if you haven't been vaccinated with God's grace, you're under the works of the law and you're under a curse. You're under the curse. That's what's wrong with the world. The world has been cursed by the law of sin and death. That's what's wrong. That's why there's sin. That's why there's sickness. That's why there's poverty. That's why there's strife. That's why these things are going on. It's not that God wanted it. It's what happened because Adam, in Romans 5:12, Adam allowed sin into the world. And when sin entered the world, death entered the world, because all of us are under the works of the law. And all of us in this same chapter in Galatians, all of us are confined by sin. You ever heard that song, Sooner or Later Love's Gonna Get You? Remember that song, Sooner or Later? Well, sooner or later, and I want everybody to raise their hand when I say this, sooner or later, sin's gonna get you. There you go. Thank you. Beverly, get your hand up high there. I'm just messing with you. I just want you to know. All right. Y'all see that? So see, the problem is, for as many, verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. See, what the law did, the law condemned us as sinners. That's what it did. It didn't bring life. It brought death. See, the law condemned us as sinners. And so, listen, now that's the bad news, but thank goodness there's great news coming. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I always think of the rich young ruler. That's a great place for that story. That's the rich young ruler. Remember, he actually came to Jesus and claimed that he'd done everything that the law required. Remember that? Remember that story? Man, I used to have a hard time with that story. But you know what? What did Jesus reveal to the rich young ruler? What did he reveal to him? No, son, you haven't fulfilled all the requirements of the law, because I'm asking you to follow me and sell all you got. And it made him very sad and sorrowful, because he loved money more than he loved God. Now, I'm not picking on the rich young ruler. I'm just letting everybody know that don't ever, this is big picture stuff. Don't ever go to God acting like you deserve something. Don't ever do that. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. God in his mercy, God in his goodness, God because he loves us. Look at the rest of this. Everybody see that? See, nobody's done everything in the book of the law. Nobody, except one person. Who did? Who did everything? Who fulfilled the law and the prophets?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ, right? Verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. In other words, you can't live by faith and the law. You can't mix the two. I want to tell you something right here and now. See, now the big picture is, everybody that's listening needs to know you're trapped in sin. The smaller thing that all of us need to know that's trying to operate these truths is, you can't mix the law and you can't mix grace. It's one or the other. See, it's not Jesus plus anything. It's Jesus only. He paid for all of our sins. Jesus is, it has to be by grace alone. It can't be grace and law. It's grace alone. It's faith through grace. You see that? Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Here it is. Verse 13. Here it is. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. See, how that, now what's that got to do with what I said out there in May, April of 2020? What's that got to do with that? You see, what I needed to understand is that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And if I had time, and I don't today, if I had time, you go to Deuteronomy 28, And one of the curses of the law is pestilences. And this thing, what's this called? A pandemic or something like that. We've been redeemed from that. And see, what we're still doing is we're still wondering why God won't do something about it when God did everything about it by making Jesus the curse so that he could give us the blessing. And we're the ones that have to release the blessing. Now you can tell that that hadn't gone over, you know, that wonderfully in Christian religion, because, you know, we've met a lot of resistance. But I'm telling you right now that since I found out this truth and since I've learned how to operate this truth, I've seen positive results, and I've been able to overcome sickness and disease and strife and lack of resources, because I've understood that the blessing of Abraham's come on me because Jesus has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Can you get it? Can I get an amen? Amen. Has he redeemed you from the curse of the law? Amen. Has he? What do we have to do? We have to go out and let every circumstance and every situation bow its knee to the truth that Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us, because verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Well, that's rich and deep. And so that's what the Lord kind of scolded me about, was look, you know this. Go back to the three questions. See, I knew this. And it's why you gotta review. And you got to remind yourself of these things. Back to the three questions. James, I got to go back to the three questions. All right. So see, I knew question one. I knew that God had already provided by grace. God had already provided by grace what I needed. I already knew that. I knew he had. I knew that Christ had redeemed me from the curse of the law. But see, I got down to number two, and see what happens to you. And it'll happen real easy. I got down to number two and I started trying to make it back be about God again. Why won't you do something about it? Well, what did we discover in Galatians chapter 3? He did do something about it. See that? All right, number three, because I got to read some other verses. Number three, am I persuaded enough about what I believe to be able to overcome natural unbelief? Now, this is what I think. And really, I want everybody to see this. I'm presenting this. This is a new year. This is our first sermon technically in 2022. I went over to the radio and did a program and acted like it was 2022 by the magic of radio. But this is technically our first service in 2022. And this is what I'm seeing among my Christian brethren. This is what I'm seeing among my Christian brethren, because folks, I'm hearing about Christian people that are struggling desperately with sickness and disease in this pandemic. And this is what I'm seeing in my Christian brethren. They're not doing number three. They're not understanding that they have to be able to know enough about the grace and love of God to be able to overcome natural unbelief. Again, I know I'm repeating myself, but it'll bear repetition. We have been able to understand that relative to salvation. We have been able to understand that we don't always feel saved. We have been able to understand that we don't always act saved. We have been able to understand that we don't always look saved. But when it comes to sickness, when it comes to like COVID or things like that, we start paying attention to the natural surroundings instead of paying attention to what God has already provided by grace through faith. You see that? Man, you really would have to teach this on almost every week, because it has to get down into your heart and into your membrane. But remember, what the Lord will have me do periodically is kind of pull away, because I don't want to beat people over the head with it. But here we are in 2022, and just as soon as this Omicron, I don't even know how to pronounce it, they'll come up with another variant on this thing. They're going to keep coming up with another variant on this thing, and you're going to have to learn how to deal with it and live with it. And vaccinations are good. Vaccinations are not bad, but the best vaccination you can get is the grace vaccination, and say, bless God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his stripes, I was healed.
Amen.
By his stripes, I was healed, and he redeemed me from the curse of the law. Amen. And the blessing of Abraham belongs to me, and I am going to overcome my natural unbelief, just like I overcome my natural unbelief when I get mad, and I know I shouldn't. You know, when I, God forbid, I cuss, and I know I shouldn't. You know, when I talk about somebody and I know I shouldn't, I overcome my natural unbelief there, and I stay secured in the knowledge that God loves me in spite of me. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Has God loved us in spite of us?
Yes.
You think that's true when it comes to your sickness and disease or anything like that? Does he still love you?
Yes.
No. Did he put that on you to teach you something? No. No. He gives us the word of God to teach us something. He gives us the fivefold ministry to teach us something. He gives us the apostle and the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. He gives us the word of God that's profitable for doctrine and correction. He doesn't do those things. He doesn't have those things. Jesus didn't come down from heaven with those things. He came down from heaven with the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, he told the people to go and announce the kingdom of God. And when they announced the kingdom of God, one of the ways they announced it was by healing the sick. Folks, I'm telling you, I hope you understand one of the reasons I'm doing this is that there's so much of this sickness out there that I want to be able to give you the information that I think you're going to have and able to overcome it. Can you say amen? So am I persuaded enough about what I believe to be able to overcome natural unbelief? Let me say this, and this is where I want to focus, and this is where we'll close it or get where I want to talk about it from both a big picture and a little picture standpoint. When you are dealing with number three, the thing you're going to have to be able to really gain an understanding of is the grace of God. You're going to have to gain an understanding of the grace of God. Because as you are in a situation and your circumstances and your situations don't seem to line up with what God has said in his word, you're going to have to fall back on the fact that God does truly love me in spite of me. You're going to have to. You're going to have to know that. You're going to have to gain an understanding of that. And then you have to be careful, because what's going to happen is you're going to run into some Christians that may have good intentions, and they're going to try to convince you that maybe these things are going on in your life because there needs to be something worked out that'll cause you to learn a lesson. And you can't go down that path, because if you buy into that path, see, the thing about God is it's done to you according to your faith. And so you had to maintain the simplistic belief that God loves me unconditionally. He loved me enough to save me. Listen to it. Listen to it like this. And this is what Romans is talking about in Romans 8:32. This is what it's talking about. One of the greatest verses in all the Bible. That's what it's talking about. If he loved me enough to die for me, to make heaven my home, if he loved me that much, then why won't he with him also freely give us all things? Is that up there, James? He who did not spare, let's see if I can read that. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let's say that out loud. Come on, let's say it out loud together. Ready? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Notice it comes through Jesus. One of the things, and listen, I was guilty of this. I'm trying desperately to help people overcome this. One of the things that we tend to do in Christianity, and I'm guilty of it. I want everybody to hear me. I want to make sure that you understand that we tend to try to associate blame for why something is happening to somebody. Now don't look at me like that. You know that's true. I'll hear about something and I'll hear something happened to so-and-so, and I'll think, well, I wonder what they did. See, listen to me. You cannot allow your mind to go that direction if you're wanting to overcome a situation that's bad in your life. You cannot allow yourself to think, well, I guess I deserve it, or I did this, or I did that, or maybe so-and-so's right. You can't do that. Let me ask you this. Relative to salvation, you don't do that to yourself when it comes to salvation. If you've done something wrong, if you've messed up, it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly scriptural to confess it and ask God to forgive you. But you don't for one moment think it's going to keep you out of heaven, do you?
No.
Do you? No. I don't. Listen, if you got to be perfect to go to heaven, it's going to be an awfully lonely place. It's only going to be me and Gary in there. No. But listen, do you understand? Am I the only one that you have to be careful that when you hear something went on, you think, well, I wonder what they did. Well, they didn't do anything. Because listen to me, let me explain this. And then let's bring it back to grace. Let me explain it to you and show you this out of, let me find the verse. It's over here. Go to, how do I want to do this? All right, let's go up to John chapter 3. James, I'm going to go a little bit different direction. I'm going to go to John chapter 3, the classic verses. I'll read them kind of fast because I'm going to go to a different spot here. John chapter 3, verse 16. We know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I like to read these again. This is for the big picture crowd. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Did y'all hear that? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, verse 18 is what I want to read, and then I want to go down to the last verse in this chapter. He who believes in him is not condemned. Say that out loud. He who believes in him is not condemned. Do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Then you're not condemned. Don't let me condemn you. Don't let the devil condemn you. And don't let other Christians condemn you. Listen, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, the problem is that apart from Jesus Christ, we're all condemned because we're all under the law of sin and death because we've all been placed under the curse of sin. See? Now, everybody see that? That's the problem. And what happens is we get born again, we become a child of God, and then something goes on bad in our life, and we go back to the law and think, okay, I did something to deserve this, when we're not under the law anymore. You're not condemned. The only people that are condemned are the people that don't receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You're not condemned. And you're going to overcome natural unbelief, to be able to say to your body when it is experiencing symptoms, to be able to say to your mind when it's experiencing depression, to be able to say to your checkbook when it's experiencing negative balances, to be able to overcome that, you're going to have to be able to overcome condemnation. And the only way to overcome condemnation is to begin to understand the grace of God and that God's not the one doing the condemning.
Amen.
But there's only one way out from under. There is only one way out from under it. You can't do it by religious works. You can't do it by just reciting some creed. You can't do it by just doing enough good things in your life. The only way to overcome it is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that. Let me get back to this. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, verse 36, this is so amazing and so important. This is so amazing and so important. Verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. It's so unfortunate that word, everlasting life, that the English language, that word is the Greek word zoe, Z-O-E. And it's so unfortunate that the only thing they could come up with, it's a good word. It's cool. It's cool that you have everlasting life. But it really, what this means is, he who believes in the Son has God's divine nature. You actually are a partaker of the divine nature of God. That's who you are. That's what you have. See? Now, I'm doing this from two directions. So if you're having a hard time overcoming natural unbelief, you got to be careful that you don't allow condemnation to come on you and somebody talk you into the fact that you deserve this, or you need to, there's something you did to deserve it. You're going to have to overcome that by knowing that God's not condemning you and that you're a partaker of the divine nature. And if there is something that you've done that you need to repent of, then repent in the name of Jesus, but go forward knowing that he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I got to go quick. So he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. Listen to this. Listen, you got to understand this. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Wait a minute. What's going on here? Well, don't understand how to divide the scriptures. Listen to me. If you're in Christ, the wrath of God's not on you. The wrath of God's not on you. You're a born again child of God, and you're a partaker of God's divine nature. And so that's how you'll be able to overcome natural unbelief. That's how you'll be able to overcome situations and circumstances that seem contradictory to what God has promised, because you know you're a partaker of God's divine nature and you're not under his wrath. Now listen, for those other folks that have not received Jesus, the reason why you're under the wrath of God is because you're under the curse of the law, because you're under the law of sin and death. Because whether you like it or not, all of us know the difference between right and wrong, and all of us fall short of God's glory. And so you're under his wrath in that you are under the law, the curse of the law of sin and death. Everybody see that? But listen to me. Those of us who have received the Son, listen, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, or has God's nature. That's why you can speak to your mountain. That's why you can rebuke COVID-19. That's why you can overcome the devil, because you're not a partaker of the sin nature anymore. You're the partaker of the divine nature, and you are not under God's wrath. The rest of the world is under the wrath of God, because the rest of the world's under the law of sin and death. The rest of the world's under the curse of the law. But God don't want it to be that way. He wants me to be here today to tell people on the radio and on the internet, you can get out from under the curse of the law by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can I get an amen? Let's go over to Romans 4 and then I'll close up. I can't believe it. Can you get me over to Romans 4? Romans 4, 15 and 16. For those of us that are genuine Bible students and you want to really be able to operate these things in 2022, listen, folks, let me tell you something. Let me be sincerely sincere this morning. If you're dependent on Christian religion to overcome, it's going to let you down. Let me just tell you this. If you're dependent on Mark Browning to overcome, I'm going to let you down. I'm going to tell you that straight up. But I'm going to tell you, if you're sincere about overcoming and you've gained an understanding of what I'm talking about, you're going to have to know that you're going to have to spend some quality time reading the book of Romans. And you're going to have to spend some quality time reading the book of Galatians, because that's where you're going to gain a clearer understanding about grace. Remember, you can't mix the two. It's not grace and law. It's grace. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Romans 4:15. Because the law, listen to this, because the law brings about wrath. Why does the law bring about wrath? Because everybody has transgressed the law. That's why it brings wrath. That's why he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe, the wrath of God abides on him, because he has transgressed the law. Okay? And sooner or later, you'll have to pay for that. You'll have to pay for it. There is a price to pay. But thank God, if you're in Christ, listen to me very carefully. Oh, this is so wonderful to say. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, he paid it for you. He paid it for you.
Amen.
man, they got signs all over the South. It's all over the South. You got to come to the South just to see them. They got signs all over the South. He paid it all. Because the law brings about wrath. Listen to this. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. See? So verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, or not only to those who are Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, the blessing of God is released to those who receive the grace of God, and the wrath of God is released to those who try to come to God based on the law. Do you understand that? So for us that are Christians, for us that are believers, we have to get firmly committed and connected to God's grace. And we have to know in our heart that the grace of God has appeared to us. And God, in his goodness and mercy toward us, has given us all things that allow us the ability to overcome the law of sin and death. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now listen, there's two things going on here. I'm almost done. Let me give you this invitation. If you've been listening this morning by the radio or by the internet, we thank you so much for tuning in and listening. And if you've listened this morning and you're one of the people that this is the first time anybody's brought you this information, this is the first time that somebody's clearly identified to you what the real problem is. See, the real problem is not your mama or your daddy or your job or your race or your gender. That's not the real problem. The real problem is you're trapped in the law of sin and death. That's the real problem. But there's a way out. There's a way out. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law. God actually put him on a cross, nailed him to the cross, and he became the curse, and he became the sin bearer for the whole world. And the Bible says that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
And so what you got to do is just receive it. The Bible says, as many as received it, to them they gave the right to become children of God. So if you're listening by radio or internet and you want to get out from under the law of sin and death, just say this prayer with me. Say, Dear God.
Dear God. I've heard the gospel this morning.
And I found out what the problem is. The problem is sin. But thank God. Jesus Christ.
Paid the price.
For my sins. And the sins of the whole world. I now
confess
my faith in him and what he did for me.
Jesus is my Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you prayed that, you became a partaker of God's divine nature, and you're no longer under the law of sin and death. You're no longer under the wrath of God. Now the blessing of God is in your heart and in your spirit, and you got to release it out by faith. And you have to learn how to do this, and it's a wonderful thing to do. It's a wonderful adventure. Life's wonderful this way. It's wonderful this way. I'm not a victim anymore. I get to go out and release my faith and my belief in the living God into the kingdom of darkness. And COVID-19 is not going to whip me in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, if you're a believer and you've heard this sermon this morning, I want to do this. Now, you got to hear me now. If you tune into the radio and you're a believer this morning, here's what I want you to begin to understand. Don't let anybody, I'm talking about believers now. You got to hear me. Don't you let anybody put condemnation on you anymore. I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you haven't measured up and crossed every T and dotted every I. Neither has the person that's talking to you this morning. I haven't crossed every T and dotted every I. But God's mercy endures forever. God loves me unconditionally. God loves me forever, and I'm his child now. I'm not a child of the devil anymore. I'm a child of God, and God loves me, and his nature's in me, and his blessing is on me and in me, and I will no longer receive condemnation from the world or from other people and from myself. I am free to allow the grace of God to be vaccinated throughout my whole body, throughout my whole mind, to be able to overcome the works of the devil, because the God in me is greater than the devil that's in the world. Listen to me now. Listen to this sermon more than one time. Let it get into your heart. You're going to have to hear these things more than once. You're going to have to read these things and hear these things more than once. If you can get your hands on a Bible and get access to it, we just went through the Gospel of Luke. I'm recommending that people would read the book of Romans and the book of Galatians to gain an understanding of what it means to be saved by grace through faith. You won't regret it. It's in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I'm going to stay up on the screen with y'all.